Thank you, Mike, for giving us that greeting there from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Thank you, David, for your prayer, and thank you, Bill, for leading us in song and for putting songs together that goes along with our lesson this morning titled, This Do in Remembrance of Me. You see, on the same night of his betrayal, Jesus, while eating the Passover with his chosen disciples, instituted the Lord's Supper when he took the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, gave thanks for them, and gave them to his disciples, and said, "This do in remembrance of me." So, with the institution of the Lord's Supper pressed upon our minds this morning, I want to take some time this morning to discuss this do in remembrance of me. And I want to begin by discussing the this in this do in remembrance of me. It's important to note that the word this is used to identify a specific thing being indicated or experienced. As we have mentioned and already read this morning, the specific thing or emblems that Jesus was referring to when he instituted the Lord's Supper was that of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. You see, going there to Matthew's account there in Matthew 26, open up your Bibles there to Matthew 26. And here we have recorded for us where Jesus sat down to eat the Passover with his chosen disciples, and where he institutes the Lord's Supper. And here in Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 26, it reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it." By the way, that word blessed there simply means gave thanks for, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Here we have recorded for us where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And the emblems that he was referring to when he instituted the Lord's Supper consist of the unleavened bread, which figuratively represents the body of Christ, as we see there in verse number 26 of Matthew 26. Now, some of you may be asking, well, how do you know that it was unleavened bread? Well, you know how we know that? Go back and rewind back there to verse number 17 of Matthew 26. And here in verse 17 of Matthew 26, we find that now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus. That's how we know that the bread that Jesus gave thanks for was unleavened bread. Because it was during the time of the Passover that the Feast of Unleavened Bread was occurring. Therefore, there would have been no bread that had any leaven in it. To be simply put, unleavened bread is bread baked from unleavened dough. And we know that since this Lord's Supper was instituted during the times of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that the bread that would be referred to would be unleavened bread. Now, we also recognize that the other emblem that Jesus refers to when instituting the Lord's Supper was the cup or the fruit of the vine. And it's important to note, as we learn there in verses 27 through 29 of Matthew 26, the fact that the cup or the fruit of the vine represents the blood of Christ. Again, let's take a look at verse 27 there, where it says, then he took the cup. Well, what was in that cup? How do we know what was in that cup? Well, drop down there to verse 29, when he says, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine. That's what was in that cup, the fruit of the vine. Now, some of you may be asking, well, what's that mean? The fruit of what vine? Well, it's important to note that the Greek word for fruit of the vine that we find here in Matthew 26 and verse 29 is the same Greek word rendered for grapevine that is found in James chapter 3 and verse 12. So that tells us something. That tells us that the fruit of the vine that is being referred to here is in regard to the grapevine. And it's also important to note that to drink of, or to drink of this, indicates the juice from the fruit of the vine. In this case, which would be the grape, which is simply grape juice. That's how we know the emblems that Jesus has instituted in the Lord's Supper. That's how we know what they are. They are the unleavened bread, which represents his body, Matthew 26 and verse 26, and the fruit of the vine, which is simply grape juice, as we see there in Matthew 26, verses 27 through 29, which, by the way, figuratively represents his blood. So, and this do in remembrance of me. It consists of some things, doesn't it? It's important that we understand what the this is. We recognize that the this is simply referring to the emblems that Jesus has referred to in instituting the Lord's Supper. Those emblems we've talked about, the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But did you know that the this and this do in remembrance of me consist of just more than the emblems? You see, it also consists of the giving of thanks for the emblems. It also consists of the distribution of the emblems. And obviously, the partaking of the emblems, which represent Christ's death. Let's talk about that for a moment. Again, the part going back to the fact that the this and this do in remembrance of me also consist of the giving of thanks for the emblems. We see that there in Matthew 26 and verse 26, again where it's recorded, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. And what did he do with that bread? It says he blessed it, which, by the way, again, simply means he gave thanks for it. That's important. You see, we also can see the emphasis of this found there in Luke's account. Going back there to Luke 22. Turn with me, if you will, there to Luke 22. And notice verses 19 and 20 in regard to Luke's account of the institution of the Lord's Supper. There Luke records, and he, that being Jesus, took bread. Now watch this. Gave thanks and broke it. And he gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this, or this do, in remembrance of me. Well, this do what, Jesus? What did Jesus do? What example did he give us? He took bread and he gave thanks for it. He broke it and gave it to them, which denotes a distributing of it. That's where we can see that there's much more involved in this do in remembrance of me. It not only involves the emblems, but it involves the giving of thanks for those emblems and the distribution of those emblems and ultimately the partaking of those emblems. You see, unfortunately, there are times when I have heard men stand at the table and preside the Lord's table who have failed to give thanks for the emblems. I have heard some very, very good prayers at the table. And some men pray for everything under the sun. But unfortunately, they fail to give thanks specifically for the emblems. And it's important, brethren. It's important, men, who preside the Lord's table, that you recognize that the this and this do in remembrance of me consist also of the giving of thanks for the emblems. And when we stand and preside the Lord's table, we need to do as we have been given an example of Jesus in regard to the partaking of the Lord's Supper. We need to give thanks specifically for the unleavened bread and for the fruit of the vine. You see, failure to give thanks for that is failure to do as Jesus said, in this do in remembrance of me. That's important, isn't it? And again, like I said, it's important that men recognize the need. If you say nothing else, the need to say thanks, give thanks for the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. I'll give you an example of this. I've often heard in regard to one who would preside the Lord's table, and how given a good example to follow in presiding the Lord's table, and that of Jim Sparks. Many of you know Jim Sparks. New Jim Sparks. And Jim Sparks, as many of the brethren that's been here at Belleville for a long time, who knew Jim and knew every time Jim would stand at the table and preside the table or ask to give thanks for the unleavened bread or the fruit of the vine, this would be his prayer. If he was asked to give thanks for the unleavened bread, he would simply say, "Dear God, thank you for this unleavened bread. In Jesus' name, amen." You know what? Jim did exactly what he needed to do. And it was that simple. It was that simple and straight and direct to the point. "Dear God, thank you for this unleavened bread." Or, "Dear God, thank you for this fruit of the vine." It's that simple. It's to the point. And it's doing what needs to be done. It's the giving of thanks for those emblems. Now, don't get me wrong, man, I'm not trying to tell you how to pray. I'm not doing that. But what I am telling you is we must recognize the need when we preside the Lord's table to be giving thanks for the emblems. That's important. And we need to understand the need to do just that. But we also see not only does this and this do in remembrance of me consist of the giving of thanks for the emblems, but it also consists of the distribution of the emblems. Again, as we see there in verse 26, we have reference of that. When after he gave thanks for the bread, what did he do? He broke it and he gave it to his disciples. That simply denotes a distribution of the emblems. And then obviously, that this and this do in remembrance of me will consist of the partaking of the emblems. Once more, it's important that we understand what the this and this do in remembrance of me is. But now that we recognize what the this and this do in remembrance of me is, let's talk about what the do and this do in remembrance of me is. It's important to note that the word do means to perform something by an act or action. Simply put, the do and do this in remembrance of me denotes a command given by the Lord to partake of the emblems that he has specified. Again, we see this there in Luke 22, verses 19 and 20. When he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this," or "this do, in remembrance of me." Simply put, when Jesus told his disciples to do that, he was commanding them to partake of that emblem. And the do in this do in remembrance of me denotes that command that was given by the Lord to partake of the emblems which he specified. It's important to note that the command to partake of the Lord's Supper is to be observed on the first day of the week when the disciples come together. We recognize that it denotes the need to perform something by an act or action. We recognize that. We recognize that Jesus gave that command to observe it. Now that we know we have that command, we need to know when that command is to be observed. And again, the Bible, being its own best commentary, teaches us when that command is to be observed, as we find there in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And notice these words of the inspired apostle. There, Paul wrote, "Now on the first day of the week." Well, what about that first day of the week, Paul? Well, watch this. When the disciples came together. When they came together to do what, Paul? To break bread. Stop there. That word break bread there, those words simply denote and is in reference to the Lord's Supper. Did you know that? That's what Paul's talking about. And when did that take place? When did the disciples come together to break bread? What did Paul say? On the first day of the week. There's our answer. That's when the Lord's Supper is to be observed. It's to be observed on the first day of the week, as we have the approved example of the early disciples doing here in Acts chapter 20 and in verse 7. Now, that excludes some things, doesn't it? That tells us that if this command was to be observed on the first day of the week, which, by the way, is Sunday, the day that we're at today, that tells us that it's not to be observed on any other day but the first day of the week. That excludes observance of it on the fifth day, sixth day, seventh day, second day, third day, fourth day. All those days are to be excluded. But only it is to be observed on the first day of the week. And it's also important to note that not only is this command to do in remembrance of me to be observed on the first day of the week, but this command is to be obeyed upon every first day of the week. Are you aware of that? You see, there are some confusion in the religious world in regard to the frequency of the partaking of the Lord's Supper. There are some who do it on a monthly basis. There are some who do it on a quarterly basis. There are some who just do it on a yearly basis. But we need to understand that this command that was given by our Lord to observe this memorial in remembrance of Him, it is to be done not only on the first day of the week, but upon every first day of the week. That's important. You see, we see there again there in Acts chapter 20, there in verses 6 and 7, the fact that Paul waited 7 days in Troas. Well, why did Paul wait 7 days in Troas? What was the significance of that? You want to know what the significance of that was? The reason why he waited 7 days in Troas was so that he could break bread and eat the Lord's Supper with fellow believers. And when that day come, that first day of the week, he was there with them. And they ate the Lord's Supper. And faithful followers of Christ are to do the same today. They are to observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. They are to do so when the disciples come together, just as settings like this today. And they are to do so upon every first day of the week. You see, we learn that this is to be done upon every first day of the week by means of necessary conclusion. And necessary conclusion or necessary inference is that which is clearly implied by the things that are stated. You see, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we have a clear statement. A clear statement that the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread, is to be done, and the example given for when that was to be observed was the first day of the week. That's clear as day, isn't it? We have that clear statement. And here's the thing, since no first day is specifically specified, we must necessarily conclude that it is to be observed whenever there is a first day of the week. Well, how often is there a first day of the week, brethren? Once a week. Every week, isn't there? There's a first day of the week every week. And therefore, we can necessarily conclude that this action, the observing of the Lord's Supper, is to be done every first day of the week. A comparison of this can be made to that of the Old Testament command to keep the Sabbath day. Again, although no specific Sabbath day was specified, but just the keeping of the Sabbath day, those Jews understood that there came a Sabbath day, that is Saturday, seventh day of the week, every week, didn't they? Therefore, they necessarily concluded and understood that it would involve the keeping of it every Sabbath day, which came around every week. The same is with the observing of the Lord's Supper. Just as there is a first day of the week, every week, it must be observed upon every first day of the week. And that would involve the dew, in this dew, in remembrance of me. Now that we've talked about the this and the do in this do in remembrance of me, let's talk about the in remembrance of me, in this do in remembrance of me. And it's important to note that the words in remembrance of simply imply the action of remembering someone or something. So, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper and said, "This do in remembrance of me," he was simply instructing the partaking of the emblems. Those emblems that we talked about a few moments ago, that being of the unleavened bread and of the fruit of the vine. He was instructing that those emblems, the partaking of those emblems, be observed as a memorial in the remembrance of his death. You aware of that? Are you aware of the fact that those emblems that we partake of when we eat of the Lord's Supper represent his death? Again, we talked about that. That unleavened bread, what does that figuratively represent? His body. That fruit of the vine, what's that represent? His blood, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. And the in remembrance of me, in this do in remembrance of me, is simply to be observed as a memorial to the remembrance of his death. To emphasize that, I take us back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which Mike read for us a few moments ago. Go back there with me, if you will, there to 1 Corinthians 11. And again, notice these words of the inspired apostle, beginning there in verse number 23. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.'" It's important to understand that that word broken, when Jesus talks about the fact that this is his body which is broken for you, he's not talking about the fact that his body and his bones was all broken up. That's not what he's talking about, because we know that that didn't happen. But what he is talking about in reference to that is that's in reference to the violent death of the Lord. We need to understand that. We need to recognize that, my beloved brother. When we are to eating of that unleavened bread, which represents the body of Jesus, which Paul informs for us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 24, when Jesus says, "This is my body which is broken for you." It's in reference to the violent death that he experienced for us. You aware of that? You need to be. You see, we go on to see when Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Simply put, the observing of the Lord's Supper in remembrance of the Lord's death, it's going to consist of the removal of the thoughts of the world. And it's going to focus upon the violent death of the Lord. You see, we need to understand that here in a few moments when we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, that while we're preparing for the Lord's Supper and preparing to eat that Lord's Supper, and while we're eating and observing the Lord's Supper, that we need to remove the thoughts of the world. We need to be mindful of the need to focus upon what we are doing. We need to understand that what we are doing is simply a memorial that was instituted by our Lord and Savior to be done in remembrance of His death. And we need to block out all distractions and meditate upon the greatest sacrifice that the world has ever known. That sacrifice being that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to look back upon that scene on the cross. We need to concentrate on the Lord's suffering. We need to think about those things that have been recorded in Scripture in regard to the suffering that the Lord endured for us. The scourging, the crown of thorns, being spat upon, the reviling. Think about that when you're partaking of the Lord's Supper. Concentrate upon the suffering and the anguish that our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ endured in order that we may have the remission of our sins. You see, again, the "in remembrance of me" is simply an instruction to be observed as a memorial in remembrance of the Lord's death. And Christ, knowing that man was prone to forget, instituted the Lord's Supper on the same night he was betrayed in order to keep the memory of his great sacrifice alive in the hearts of men. And when I think about that, I think about something I once heard. And I heard these words of a man once, and I quote them. Those words is, "The one who forgets the death of Christ will also forget to live for Christ." End quote. Think about that. And let us be one who observes the Lord's Supper in memory of his death. Brethren, may we all understand the purpose of this do in remembrance of me. And may we always seek to observe the Lord's Supper in a pleasing and acceptable manner to the Lord. And may we also keep in mind, for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse 26. Those words are important. You know why those words are important? Because those words of the inspired Apostle Paul denote the certainty of Christ's return. So now I ask, what if the Lord would come again this day? Would you be ready? Would you be ready? Would you? If not, you can become ready, for you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be buried with Christ through baptism this very hour. You can do as we talked about this morning in our Bible study of Romans chapter 6. You can crucify that old man of sin. You can bury him in that watery grave of baptism. And you can be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in a newness of life. And you too can have that hope of eternal life which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we must continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord, His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you have sin in your life. You're encouraged to repent of that sin, confess that to God, and ask Him for His forgiveness. Do, as we talked about this morning also in our Bible class, as John instructs there in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Confess your sins to Him, knowing that He, that is God, is faithful and just, and that He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your needs may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song Bill selected.